A Sabbath blessings and greetings, dear ones, gathered here and those on the phone and those listening to the recording. Glad to be in fellowship with you once again and praise God for his merciful kindness and tender love and divine protection throughout this past week and enabling us to be here to worship him in spirit and in truth. I have a couple announcements before we get into our service. And the first announcement is that I mentioned a while back that in the new year, 2026, I would like to have individuals among us to lead out in a Friday night service and another individual lead out in a Sabbath youth and adult Sabbath school service. One time a month, different individual. So it would be two individuals each month. One would take a Friday and the other one would take a Sabbath. And I would like to do that from January throughout December next year. I haven't yet received any volunteers for those meetings. So I'm mentioning it again because January is coming up. and I would like to have the volunteers lead out every second Friday of the month and second Sabbath Youth and Adult Sabbath School of the month. And a different individual, so not the same ones all the time. So please keep that in prayer. And if God is impressing you to step out by faith, then please let me know. Again, I'm going to be right here to help, to take up slack, to encourage and to keep the meeting moving forward. I just would like you to volunteer to lead out in the meeting. So we have a lot of talent in this home church, and a lot of talent is not being utilized. So please step out by faith and allow God to develop and allow you to discover some of these talents that are waiting to be exhibited. And it doesn't have to be just the adults. I would like to see young ones as well. And even children leading out. Whoever's impressed, please let me know. You don't want me just to pick and choose. So.
Question.
Yes, go ahead.
Would there be a format to follow so as to help? I remember when I took over leading out in the cradle roll department, I asked a teacher of another department if I could follow her format, which was very complete. Because having a format to follow, it gives you hints on what you want to say and when you want to say it. And it kind of puts the whole, I don't know the word I want to use there, but it makes it easier to follow and to do it right.
Yeah, amen. There will be a format. It's pretty simple. It's the same format that we're following in Friday night. We're going through Prophets and Kings. And the same format for Youth and Adult Sabbath School. We're going through Mount of Blessings at the time. So it will be the same simple format of taking a paragraph and reading it and asking for questions or comments. And then going to the next paragraph. So it's the same type of format. And so each individual here kind of knows what to expect. I'm just asking for volunteers to take the lead in the meeting. So that would be welcoming everyone that has come. That would be, here's our opening song. That would be who would like to give opening prayer and closing prayer. It would be that same type of format. So very simple, not complex, and I'll be right here to lend a helping hand, and others as well here. So please let me know soon so I could get you scheduled. And again, this is for the Friday night and the youth and adult every second Friday and Sabbath of the month. So a total of 24 different opportunities. And we have a lot of talent here that can make up those 24 times. So thank you for praying about it and letting me know. The second announcement is that most of you are aware that our dear sister Dot passed away earlier this month. And Sister Lynn has decided to have a memorial service for Sister Dot on Sunday, December 7 at 1 p.m., 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Time. So that will be 10 a.m. Pacific Time. So that is not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, December 7, and the memorial will be here in this home church. So please plan to attend, and you'll be given opportunity to say something, to give a historical moment between you and Sister Dot, or how she touched your life, and make that memorial service special. So again, that is Sunday, December 7 at 1 p.m. Eastern here in the home church. And I'll make an announcement again next week. So that's the two announcements that we have. And again, dear Sister Lynn, big hugs and love to you from all of us in this time of sorrow. Our opening song for our service today is titled, I've Found a Friend. I've found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twine those ties which naught can sever. For I am his and he is mine forever and forever.
I found a friend. Such a friend, he bled, he died to save me, and not alone the gift of life, but his own self he gave me. Not that I have my own I call, I hold it for the giver. My heart, my strength, my life, my all are his and his forever.
found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death, or earth or hell, no, I am his forever.
Amen. I hope that you've found such a friend in Christ Jesus. And what a friend he is. Now please join with me for opening prayer. Precious Father, thank you for developing the plan of our salvation, for not leaving us in this dark, sinful world to be destroyed without hope, but developing a very costly plan. And thank you, Savior, for voluntarily carrying out your part in this plan. What a friend to mankind you are. What a mighty God and Savior and Redeemer you are. And what a risk you took. Please help us to study more into this great plan and the part that you carried out. Help us to behold you in a more full way, and to recognize how deep and measureless your love is for each one. What a true friend you are. And for this we need help to understand. So please, Father, send your Holy Spirit to be with us. And please, Spirit, lead and guide, teach, instruct, also reprove and correct us. We want to see our Savior more fully today. Please remove the blinders from our eyes, all custom and tradition and preconceived ideas and opinions. Let error fall away as chaff is blown away from the precious kernel of wheat. We want to see our Savior and behold him in fullness today. And thank you for your divine help and anointing our eyes with heavenly eye salve, that we may see our Savior. And Father, we also pray that your Spirit will comfort those that are grieving, that are struggling, that are being tempted, that are going through trials and tribulations. And please, Spirit, open their eyes, point them to the uplifted Savior as their great physician, as their mighty deliverer, as the strong fortress that they can run to and be protected and safe. And thank you, Spirit, for revealing the Savior to them in such a rich abundance that they will be drawn to be with him. Father, we also ask that you'll raise up more laborers and send them into the harvest field, and let this dark world be quickly ablaze with the glory of the light shining from the face of our Savior. And thank you that we're a day closer to this becoming reality. and a day closer to heaven. Help us to get prepared, to get ready. Help us to be waiting and watching and working and praying. Help us not to be lost. And thank you for your divine power and encouragement to continue moving upward on that straight, narrow path that leads to eternal life. We meet here in the name of Jesus, and dear Father, we ask that your presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, as well as the heavenly angels, will be all around each listening heart. And may our hearts be prepared to receive the rich blessing that you have ready to bestow today. We want to be fed to the full. And thank you, Father, for your merciful kindness in doing so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise God, dear ones. So this is part four in our series, Behold Your God. And in our last sermon, we investigated into the truth of Jesus not only taking the fallen nature of mankind, but also living in sinful human flesh when he was on this earth. And we examined the doctrinal belief that even though Christ took man's fallen nature, yet he did not live in the sinful flesh of mankind. But when we compared this doctrinal belief with the inspired Word of God, we discovered that Christ's flesh was not the sinless flesh like unfallen Adam. Because when Christ was born, he was born according to the fallen sinful flesh of Abraham, David, and Mary. So we then looked at the doctrinal belief that even though Christ lived in sinful flesh of mankind, yet Christ did not feel or have to repress the natural inward temptations of the flesh like all fallen human beings experience when they're tempted. But when we compared this doctrinal belief with the inspired Word of God, we discovered that Christ did indeed have natural inclinations and desires towards sin, which originated through the fallen, sinful flesh that he took upon himself. So when Christ was tempted, he experienced all the strength and force of these natural inward feelings, but he always denied and resisted these natural inclinations in order for him to perform the Father's will. And this denial caused him internal suffering, just like the internal suffering that we feel when we deny sin or deny self under temptation. So this revealed that no matter how strong these inward temptations were to Christ, and no matter how powerful these natural feelings and desires of the fallen nature and sinful flesh were to Christ, yet he resisted all this internal force to instead do the will of God at all times. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes and the notes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/2036.htm. So lightministries.com/2036.htm. And if you look at quote number one from Hebrews 4:15, Christ was touched with the feelings of our infirmities and was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So that's what we read last time. And today we're going to examine just how mankind is tempted and what Christ went through. So since Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, then exactly how are we tempted? From Bible Echo, December 1, 1892, this is paragraph 4. The Christian is to realize that he is not his own, but that he has been bought with a price. His strongest temptations will come from within, for he must battle against the inclinations of the natural heart. So this inspired passage reveals to us that our strongest temptations will come from within because of the inclinations of the natural heart. Now, since Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, then he must have also experienced and endured the same inward inclinations of the natural heart. Now, some will say, no way. Christ was not like me. He was not like any human being. He was different from us. He didn't have to experience these downward pulls towards sin of the natural heart. Well, if that's true, then he wasn't tempted in all points like as we are. Because when we're tempted, it comes from within. The strongest temptations come from within. And we have to battle against the inclinations of the natural heart that want to give in to these temptations. So if Christ was really tempted in all points like as we are, then he must have also experienced and endured the same natural inclinations of the heart. So then did he? If you look at quote number 2. From Signs of the Times, this is February 8th. 1883, this is paragraph 13. You can also find this in Testimonies, Volume 5, page 177. Listen carefully. By faith and prayer, all may meet the requirements of the gospel. No man can be forced to transgress. His own consent must first be gained. The soul must propose the sinful act before passion can dominate over reason or iniquity triumph over conscience. Temptation, however strong, is never an excuse for sin. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Cry unto the Lord, tempted soul. Cast yourself, helpless, unworthy, upon Jesus, and claim his every promise. The Lord will hear. He knows how strong are the inclinations of the natural heart, and he will help in every time of temptation. Now, this inspired passage reveals to us that Christ himself knows just how strong these natural inclinations are when tempted to sin. Well, how could he know that unless it was from personal experience? Since Christ knows how strong these inclinations of the natural heart are, then he can help you and me when we're going through these same strong inclinations. If he doesn't know, then he could not help us. But because he does know, he can help us. If Jesus did not feel and resist these natural inward inclinations towards sin, then his battle against the temptation would be completely different from what you and I experience when we're being tempted. And if this was true, then Christ's life and sacrifice would accomplish nothing towards helping you and me to resist sin and avoid destruction. If you look at quote number 3, it is impossible to take in the depth and the force of these temptations to Christ unless the Lord shall bring man where he can open these scenes before him by a revelation of the matter, and then it can only be but partially comprehended. Satan's assaults were prepared for the circumstances in accordance with the exalted character with which he had to deal. If he could gain the victory in the first temptation, he would secure him, or Christ, on all the rest. Satan had never aimed his darts at so strong a mark. Christ took our nature, fallen but not corrupted, and would not be corrupted unless he received the words of Satan in the place of the words of God. To suppose he or Christ was not capable of yielding to temptation places him where he cannot be a perfect example for man. And the force and the power of this part of Christ's humiliation, which is the most eventful, is no instruction or help to human beings. But the facts of this history are not fable, but a living, acting experience. To deny this would rob Jesus of his greatest glory, allegiance to God, which enshrouded him as a garment in this world on the field of battle with the relentless foe, and he is not reckoned with the transgressor. He descended in his humiliation to be tempted as man would be tempted, and his nature was that of man, capable of yielding to temptation. So this inspired passage reveals to us that the belief of Christ feeling the force and strength of these natural inward tendencies and inclinations towards sin that originated from the fallen nature and the sinful flesh that he took upon himself is not a fable. It is not error. It is not heresy, as some believe. This is because Jesus knows all about the strength of temptation. That's Manuscript Releases, Volume 8, page 66. And thus it is an absolute truth founded upon the inspired word of God himself. And woe be unto those who continue to deny this truth, because in doing so, they are robbing Jesus of his greatest glory, which was allegiance to God while living in the fallen nature and sinful flesh of mankind. But praise God, dear ones. Jesus was willing to become one of his fallen and sinful creations in order to show you and me that it is possible to deny our inward feelings and strong downward urges toward sin, and to then be able to do the will of our Father at all times, in any time of temptation. Praise God. And praise him that Jesus always denied the clamors of fallen sinful flesh, even though it caused him suffering. But this suffering indicated that he had gained the victory. He was superior over these natural desires of the fallen nature, and thus showed that he was perfect in character. So, dear ones, Jesus did not just pretend that he took upon himself sinful human flesh. Christ did in reality take it upon himself and then lived in it. But what consequences did this bring to Christ? If you look at quote number 4, from Signs of the Times, August 8, 1892, this is volume 2, page 504. Jesus was treated as a sinner when he assumed the likeness of sinful flesh. So the spotless Lamb of God was willing to be treated as you and I should have been treated. Jesus was willing to unite himself and eternal interests with fallen sinful humanity to become fully human. Do you understand that Jesus became one of his own creation in its fallen condition? Do you understand that Jesus was treated as a sinner, even though he never sinned? Do you realize what an immense humiliation that was? And do you realize what an immense and unfathomable love Jesus reveals to unworthy you and me? In Signs of the Times, February 20, 1893, this is volume 3, page 24. He, or Christ, humbled himself to pass through man's experiences, and he would not turn aside from the plan by which salvation could come to man. Knowing all the steps in the path of his humiliation, he refused not to descend step by step to the depths of man's woe, that he might make expiation for the sins of the condemned perishing world. What humility was this? It amazed the angels. Tongue can never describe it. Pen can never portray it. The imagination cannot take it in. Sinless and exalted by nature, the Son of God consented to take the habiliments of humanity, to become one with the fallen race. The eternal Word consented to be made flesh. God became man. So tongue can never proclaim this kind of love in its fullness. Pen can never describe it in its entirety. Christ's love for fallen and sinful you and me amazed the angels. It amazed all the unfallen universe. And it should amaze every human being. Christ consented to go downward step by step to reach us where we were, which was at the very bottom, in order that he might bring us up to the top and connect us with the Father. The Lord God Michael became man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became one of his own creation so that he could fight the battle as every child of humanity might or must fight it at the risk of failure and eternal loss. That was from Desire of Ages, page 49. So Christ risked everything in order to redeem you and me. He risked eternal loss. The eternal God risked eternal loss by his choice to become human in its fallen, sinful state. How can you measure that kind of love? How can you measure that kind of humiliation? His love was greater than humiliation. Now, for those of us having trouble understanding this amazing action of our Savior, think of it this way. What if you had the power to create worms? Earthworms, right? What if you could create them? And one day, while watching your creation, you saw that they all were heading straight for a cliff and would soon burrow through it and go over it and be destroyed at the bottom. Now, would you, out of sympathy and love for all the worms that you had created, consent to be made a worm yourself in order to speak their language, feel what they feel and are going through, so that you could then reach them on their same low level and show them by example how to turn around and be saved from certain destruction? Would you do that? This is what Jesus did. If you look at quote number 5, our Lord God Jesus Christ was willing to be made a worm in order to speak our human language, feel what we feel and are going through, and reach us on our low level in order to show us by example how to turn around and be saved from destruction. Read Psalms 22 verse 6 sometimes. Christ was willing to go however far it was necessary in order to provide you and me with salvation. It's immeasurably impossible to find how deep that love is. It's an amazing love. It can never be sounded to its depths. It can never find the end. And on top of this, it was God the Father's love that allowed Christ to come and save us in the first place. So this shows us that the Father loves us with at least the same infinite love, if not greater. And all their amazing love is freely bestowed upon unworthy you and me. Dear ones, let us praise God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, with every ounce of our being for all that they have done and are continuing to do for us sinners. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 11, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Through Christ, we are at one with God. That's a cause for joy. Now, with all that we have seen, how much was Christ's humanity like your and my humanity? Did Christ really have hereditary tendencies, inherent infirmities, weaknesses, natural passions and desires that are common to all fallen human beings? Now, we've discovered that inspiration declared that Christ has himself felt the strength and has himself felt the force of our temptations. So then, just how much of this inward natural force did Christ feel when he was being tempted? was Jesus really and truly our human elder brother in every way? How immense is his love for you and me, dear ones? We'll be investigating into this next time. Just how much was Christ's humanity like yours and mine? Identical? Only partial? We'll find out next time. Praise him from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all ye creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amazing love. Amazing Savior. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. I pray you're beholding your God in a much greater and fuller way. Our closing song is Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my life.
Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one.
Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. O King of glory, my treasure thou art.
O King of glory, my victory won. Rule and reign in me till thy will be done. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Amen. Heart of my own heart. I hope you're seeing that in a more full way, dear ones. He's your Lord. He's your God. He's your human elder brother. He's your Savior, Redeemer, Sanctifier, High Priest, Intercessor, Mediator. And you are His. Never forget that. He's yours, and you are His. Please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, words escape us. And dear Spirit, I pray that you will praise our Father and Savior in the language of God. Thank you for thy words of inspiration for this great plan of salvation. Thank you, Savior, for your infinite sacrifice and becoming one of us to be with us, to know what we feel and go through, to experience everything firsthand, so that you can lead us away from destruction onto the straight, narrow, upward path that leads to eternal life as our example, our leader, taking us by the hand and walking with us every upward step. What a Savior you are. And what an honor it is to call you our Savior. I pray, dear Spirit, that you'll help the words that were shared from inspiration be embedded in our heart, embedded in our memory. Help us not to forget it. Prevent the devil from snatching away these precious seeds of truth. Help us to spend time beholding our God, seeing Him in sinful human flesh, seeing Him being tempted and yet overcoming by relying upon His Father for grace and strength to obey. Seeing Him overcome just as we must overcome. What a mighty example our Savior gave. And Father, send us all the grace and divine power that you sent to Jesus in order that we also might overcome just as He did. Your plan of salvation is perfect. It's foolproof. There's no loopholes. It's complete. And all because of your infinite love for us, your enemies. Help us to be enemies no more. Help us to love you in return. Help us indeed to be children of light and no longer children of darkness. And thank you, Jesus, for leading the way. In thy precious name we pray. Amen. So we will behold our God in a fuller way next time. Are there any thoughts, questions, comments, insights? Anything that you'd like to share, dear ones? Testimonies? Songs? Please feel free.
I praise God for His choice to save us. And He gives, what He did gives us the power of choice to choose Him.
Amen. And it's that power of choice that reveals to us that Christ had to live just like us. He had to battle against temptation just like us so that we would have a choice to overcome just like He did. If Jesus was different than you and me in regards to temptation, we would have no choice because we could not overcome. We have no example to look to in how to overcome. We have no Savior. And that's exactly what the devil wants. But praise God, we have the words of inspiration to show us differently, to reveal to us our God. And what a mighty picture we have. And there's even more. This will be our theme for eternity, dear ones. We're just scratching the surface. What's revealed is just the tip of all that is possible to learn about this plan of salvation and the great sacrifice and the great humiliation that went into making salvation possible. Yeah, amen. What a way to learn Calvary in its true light. And again, if we have eternity to study into this subject and never come to learn it all, then you can understand that what we do know is just the very tip of the iceberg. And for those that have seen icebergs in the ocean, the icebergs can be 200 or 300 feet tall above the surface of the ocean, but they're twice or three times as big beneath the surface of the ocean. So what you see exposed above the water is just a bit of what's below. But praise God for the bit that we can understand. Because our love for Jesus grows with every bit we learn. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? Feel free.
It is just about the scripture talking about the length and breadth and depth and height of God's love that comes to my mind, and it comes to my mind frequently, and I praise God for that. But this study, it really is impactful. And I'm thankful for it because it really is much more to know, to learn, to comprehend. There's just so much. And I'm thankful, as I believe all of us here are thankful, that we have such a Savior, such a God that would come down here and become very good analogy, a worm like us, to talk to us, to know what we're going through, and to overcome in our behalf and show us how, through him, to be an overcomer. That is something that Satan and all the evil angels can never take away from us. They can never stop us from going onward and upward in Christ Jesus. We are the ones that can stop ourselves. And I pray that by God's grace, we don't choose to do that. We stay on the path and hold tight to our Savior's hand. What amazing love.
What's that hymn, Brother Dick? Amazing love, and can it be the Son of God who died for me? Something along that line?
That sounds about right. I can't call the title of it, and nor even the tune that well.
Well, this comes close.
Yeah, because I had also found the other one too, dear brother.
Oh, you did? You want to share it? Yeah.
Sure, I will. Mm-hmm. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in his righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, amazing love. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. That's the one. And bless you for singing it for us. Dear ones, any final thoughts before we have Brother Dick sing us away? Please feel free.
I like to sing this, and I just learned from a few weeks ago. It is called "I Will Go and Do What the Lord Has Commanded." I will go and do what the Lord has commanded. No matter what. For I know in my heart, if I trust in Him, the Lord will prepare the way. He delivered Canaan into Deborah's hand. For Moses, He parted the Red Sea. He led the tribes of Israel to the promised land. He can do a miracle for me. So I'll go and do what the Lord commanded, no matter what others say. For I know in my heart, if I trust in Him, the Lord will prepare the way. He delivered Moab into Ehud's hands, for Moses reparted the Red Sea. He led the tribes of Israel to the promised land. He can do a miracle for me. So I'll go and do what the Lord commanded, though mountains may stand in my way. I can do anything that He wants me to do, for all I know He'll prepare the way.
And faith and works combined. Thank you, dear brother. Dear ones, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath. Have a blessed new week soon to be here. And as always,
keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.